Listen now for Call to Worship, a half-hour program dedicated to presenting the truth of God's Word. Call to Worship is sponsored by the Zion Chapel in Holland.
There is a name I love to hear. I love to sing its worth. It sounds like music in mine ear, the sweetest name on earth. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus, because he first loved me.
Reading from Paul's letter to the church at Colossae, chapter 4, verse 2. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. With all, pray also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance, to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I also am in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. Our Father in heaven, we come to thee through Christ Jesus, thy Son, who is the new and living way. We pray, Father, in his name, that we might be taught to pray to honor thy name, to hallow, that thy kingdom might be hallowed and that thy name might be hallowed and thy kingdom might come. We pray, Father, for that in every nation, every tongue, every tribe. We pray for it for the church and for the world, for Jew and for Gentile. We pray, Father, for reviving in the church and awakening in the world. We ask, Father, that Thou wilt with Thy Spirit work mightily to bring us back to the truth in the church, that we can then make the truth known to others, that we might do as You have said, Lord Jesus, if you continue in My word, then you will know the truth. The truth will set you free. We know this must be done for individuals as they come to Thee in repentance, come to Thee in faith. But we know also for the church to be revived, we have to go back to the truth and Thy whole counsel. And we pray, Father, that many laborers might be called to do that many might preach Thy whole counsel in the church and to the world, and that soon even every creature will hear and fear and turn unto Thee, and every nation. We ask, Father, for Thy blessing on those who are suffering for Thy name's sake, those who are persecuted. We pray for blessing on them, that they might stand fast, that they might be true to Thy word, not recant or compromise in the face of death and suffering. We also pray, Father, for the temporal needs that there are, that many have in sickness and injury and sorrow and lonesomeness, many in hunger, homeless, the terribleness of the war-torn lands, being driven from their homes and from their lands. And we think of those sorrowing because loved ones have been killed and injured. We pray, Father, for those who do persecute and who do destroy, and all the strife that there is in nations, both between nations and within nations. We pray for those in hunger. We pray, Father, that where there is famine, that there might be, again, given the blessings in nature, there might be the freedom also to partake of those blessings. We pray for the schools. We pray for governments in every nation, that Your fear will be put in the hearts of leaders. We pray it for our own nation, and we pray it for other nations. We ask, Father, for Thy blessing in the homes. We think of the many troubled homes. We think of the children in those homes. And we pray and plead that the church might be made to teach rightly concerning our homes, concerning right marriage, right continuance. And as You have said, Lord Jesus, and quoting even from the Father, that what He has joined together, let not man put asunder. We pray that we might hold to that we might know that far better in the church, and we may not compromise with the world. We pray for the children in those troubled homes. We pray, Father, that Thou wilt somehow teach them, even as those younger ones were taught in the wilderness, when their fathers were unwilling and destroyed in the wilderness and died there, that another generation arose that could go on in the land. And we pray for that in the younger generation here today, that they might learn the fear of Thee, the beginning of wisdom, all in and through Christ Jesus, in whose name we give thanks. Amen. As we look at these words again, we've looked at verse 2 of this fourth chapter of Colossians in our last message. Continue in prayer, watch in the same. And it is to be done, as Paul said, with thanksgiving. There is always reason for thankfulness, even in the worst trouble. We think of Jeremiah. He said in the terrible time, written in the Lamentations of Jeremiah, when Jerusalem was destroyed, the temple was burned down, the walls were broken, the people, many of them were killed, and others were carried away captive. Yet he could say, Thy mercies are new every morning, great is Thy faithfulness. A reason to be thankful. We think of those in the captivity, Daniel. He went in the lion's den, but he had much to be thankful for. God protected him. His three friends went into the fire. Again, God protected them. And we think of those through history, how they were burnt at the stake, singing, praising God, and giving thanks, looking forward to be with the Lord Jesus. They were quickly to be transported from this life to the next. We think of Paul also exhorting Timothy to pray, and says, first of all, supplications, prayers, intercession, and giving of thanks be made for all men. even those that we are troubled over, the terribleness that's taking place, the awful terrorists and the many killings that are taking place. We can be thankful it's not worse. We can be thankful that when especially some nations are experiencing it only in part, that it's not worse in our nation. And though we have deaths and we have murders, we have accidents, we have all of these things, but we can again be thankful that we have the blessings that we do in the midst of all these troubles and all these sins, especially that God isn't wiping us from the face of the earth. And so we are to pray with thanksgiving, as Paul says here to the Colossians, and as he said to Timothy, giving of thanks be made for all men. Especially, we can give thanks that there is a hope of salvation for all that are living. Think of the thief on the cross, going to that cross for his sin, and even saying, we hang here justly. And he could have simply died on that cross and be punished eternally for his sin, which was a terrible sin, evidently, to be punished by crucifixion justly. But Christ could say to him, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. And whether it meant that he said it today for the time that would come, or whether he meant today that he would be there with him, we may not be certain in the interpretation, but we know it was a wonderful thing happening to that man near death. Not all are blessed that way. Many go into death without it. As the rich man who lifted up his eye in being in torment. Terrible, terrible, terrible. Forever. He's there yet today. And then the reasons that there's reason for thankfulness. We can also say with James, let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. There is a place for all of that, and it doesn't contradict. There's a time, as Solomon could write in Ecclesiastes, a time for many different things. A time to plant, a time to harvest, a time to be born, a time to die. All of that is God's time. Just like there's a seed time in the spring. There's a harvest time at the end of the summer. All of that is God's order, and he said it will not cease. God created, and God through Christ upholds it all by the word of his power. And all of it is to be believed, and in all of it there is reason for thanks. We can think of some that are in hunger. We can read of it in history, and how they had very little and yet gave thanks. Sometimes the last food in the house, they didn't know if they would have more or die. So we can do this as Paul here exhorts, and we can do it today. Where I live in this country, the United States of America, with abundance of food, abundance of clothes, homes, and luxury, blessing, 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 so many, not only necessities, but luxuries. We have to pray that they won't be our idols, that they won't be that which consumes us, and that which we might even sadly, wrongly covet after more, being dissatisfied, murmuring, complaining. Paul speaks of that also. And if we have done that, we need to pray and confess. Part of our prayer is confession from the very beginning, confessing our sin that we might be forgiven, and then continuing throughout life to confess our sin. Not only as we read in Scripture, confessing one to another, but especially confessing to God, as David did when he said, against thee and thee only have I done this great sin, and this terrible iniquity. Then also Paul says in the third verse, with all praying also for us. Paul and his company that was with him, when he ended this letter, toward the end of this fourth chapter, he said, Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greet you. And other epistles he would write of those that were with him. Timothy was often with him. Titus was with him sometimes. And some of them would minister and then come back to Paul. And so when he says, praying also for us, it would be him and those who labored with him. And as well that God would call more to go into his fields which were white in the harvest, as Paul said to Timothy, to appoint elders in every city and every church where there was every city where there was a church. Elders that would teach, elders that would be those of discipline, elders that would bring the message and do as Paul said to the elders in the book of Acts as he took leave of them for the last time. Acts chapter 20, we read that last visit, he said, "Take heed unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God which he purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Of your own selves men shall arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I ceased not to warn you with day and night with tears." He there is exhorting them, and when we read such an exhortation, that is also true for us. We need to pray that we can do it, that we will do it, and to do, as Paul said earlier in the second verse, continue in prayer. I was thinking of something today that didn't work out, and I thought, well, I didn't pray. I didn't do what God said, in all your ways acknowledge him. The little things that sometimes don't work, we just don't think about it. We should. In all thy ways acknowledge him. That's prayer. That's going to God and saying like a child to a parent, you help me. I can't do it. You need to help me. Christ had said before his death, without me you can do nothing. Should we then just think we can do it? Foolishly, wickedly, both the things that are spiritual, and above all, them, but also the natural things. It's in him, Paul said, that you live and move and have your being. So we need to live by faith in all things. God gives us breath. God gives us life. God gives us health. God gives us food, and God gives us strength from the food, or we wouldn't even have that. There are people that receive food but are fed it and lay on their backs in bed. They can't move. They can't help themselves, even though they do receive food. We need strength from it, and God gives it all. As the psalmist said, except the Lord build the house, they that build labor in vain. So again, we need to, in all of our ways, acknowledge God. Pray to him. And then we have the promise also, the warning not to lean to our own understanding, and then the promise that he will direct thy paths. If we do it according to his word, we can expect blessing. And it's not only to do it in all ways, it's not only to do it in continuance, but above all, it's to do it through Christ, and to do it freely using his name. If you ask in my name, the Lord Jesus, I will do it. If you ask in my name, the Father will give you what is needed. And sometimes even that teaching an example. If you have prayer, you have faith as a grain of mustard, you can say to this mountain, be removed. Because it must be done through and because of Christ. Even though we have a little faith, he is a great Savior. He is a great Lord. He is a great King. He is Lord of lords and King of kings in all nations, even those that he allows to rebel for a time. He allowed Judah to rebel for a long time under the prophecy of Jeremiah. All those years that Jeremiah was prophesying to them, from 629 years before Christ to 588 years before Christ, when finally Jerusalem fell. The temple was burned. The walls were broken down. The people were killed, and others, a few, were carried away captive. But God had Jeremiah and other prophets as well, calling them to repentance, long-suffering. And if we read about it in the Second Chronicles, it says, till there was no remedy. God sent his prophets early betimes, sending them because he had compassion on his people and on his place. And the people didn't pray rightly. And it was so bad that God finally said to Jeremiah, pray not for this people, Don't pray that punishment won't come. It was set. And then God said through Jeremiah, through Isaiah, through Ezekiel, of other nations that would receive their turn. They mocked. They laughed when Judah fell. They even took advantage of it, some of them. They're described as doing that, falling on the prey. But then later, their turn came. And one by one, they were singled out by God. When will we be next? Other nations are experiencing terrible, terrible, terrible things. And I could say terrible many times over. And I wouldn't be exaggerating. It is terrible, awful. We have to pity those people and pray for them. Pray for God's mercy on them. Especially those that are dying under the terribleness of the wars and the persecutions and the terrorists and all the awful things, that they will be ready to die, that they will hear and believe the gospel. That's especially what's needed to end prayer. The Lord Jesus said to pray to the Lord of the harvest that he'll send forth laborers, that all those people that are suffering might have laborers amongst them to give them the message of God, the message of Christ, the only true God and his Son, Jesus Christ. Paul here said, with all praying for us that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds. When I read that of Paul, it's a whole lot different than ourselves. He was in bonds. He was limited. We, in a way, are unlimited. We have freedom. We can go throughout this nation and preach the gospel. We have that wonderful opportunity, that wonderful blessing of freedom. Will we redeem the time as we need to do? Will we do it as Paul here says, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak, walking in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time? Paul uses much the same words when he writes to the Ephesians, beginning with, wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and rise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. He uses those same words here in his request for prayer, redeeming the time, and here to the Ephesians he adds with it, because for the days are evil. When we just read the epistle to the Ephesians, we may not think about that, but they were evil. And not only was the world round about them evil, but sadly it must have affected the church, because Paul had to say to them, awake thou that sleepest, and Christ shall give thee light. Later the Lord Jesus warned them that they had left their first love, and they were in danger of having the candlestick removed. And Paul also said to them at the end of that epistle to the Ephesians. He says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. I mentioned how we need Christ. We also need the Holy Spirit. Paul mentioned that when he wrote to the Thessalonians, and I quoted part of that. He said, when we came not only in word, but in power with the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit at the very beginning, taking the word to us, opening our hearts, as he did with Lydia when Paul came to Philippi. We need him as Christ described him, that when the Spirit comes, he will reprove the world of sin and righteousness and judgment. And especially we need him, as the Lord Jesus also said, he will take the things of mine and show them to you. When Paul wrote to the Philippians, he wanted more of that. He said, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. It's the Holy Spirit that does that. The Lord Jesus said he will not speak of himself. He will take the things of mine and show them to you. And then also he will lead into all truth. Oh, how we need to pray for that. When the church is so far from the truth and everybody seems to have a small part of it, and so many fables, so many lies, so many traditions, denying our Creator as Creator. In 6 days the Lord made the heaven and the earth. Sadly, We have followed the world. We've allowed the world to lead the way in lies. We must come back. I was reading this week of William Wilberforce. He was a man, worldly man, till he was converted in England over 100 years ago. And he was the one that worked to get the slaves free in England. And finally, after many times the Parliament voted against it, they finally gave the slaves their freedom when he was almost to the end of his life. But then later, we can read of his son, on whom William Wilberforce had influence, that he spoke against Darwinism. He spoke against evolution. And he wrote against it, even to the point that Darwin said, there's wisdom in that writing. We don't know how much he really thought, but he spoke up, he wrote, and we just succumb. We give up. We are a church that does have, we are a salt that have lost its savor, trodden underfoot by the evolutionists, allowing it to be in all of our schools, including our Christian schools, our Christian so-called colleges, our seminaries. We need to begin at the beginning to pray. Pray to the Creator who created us in His own image. We lost it in Adam, but we can regain it in Christ, and we can have the blessing of prayer from Him who taught us to pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread. He gives it. And we can pray that for especially those that don't have it. And we can think of the end of that prayer after praying for forgiveness and forgive us as we forgive others. What a strong admonition and what a searching that brings. How do I forgive others? Will God forgive me better than that? Or will I do it as I should? And then the end of it, that's also lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from all evil, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Yes, forever, all of it. We can pray to Him, and we can pray through Christ, and we can pray for laborers that will preach to us, that will call the church again to repentance, and then the rest of the world as well. Let's pray that it will take place now. Oh, how we need to pray. As the Lord Jesus encouraged us, men ought always to pray and not to faint. And He says, though we bear long time with them, those that cry to Him day and night, He will answer them speedily. Oh, may it come through Christ. For God's glory. Amen.
Thanks for listening to Call to Worship. If you have questions or comments regarding today's program, you can write to Zion Chapel, 937 Royce Avenue, Holland, Michigan, 49423. Or their email address is worship@calltoworship.org. For more information on Call to Worship and its ministry, check out their website, www.calltoworship.org. Listen again next week at this time for Call to Worship.
Praise the Lord.